Well, that picked up well.
Eh.
That was well as well.
That was as well. I'm not. Am I plugged in? Because I'm not getting me. Oh,
no,
my
you're
cord's
not.
Right here.
Yeah, and I don't even have the splitter in. What I do find very strange about this is I've got us plugged in wrong, because you were on the top, which has never happened in 4 years.
Oh. Sometimes it's good to mix it up a little bit. Be a top when you're used to being a bottom. What's up? This is Movies On Up. There are two sides to every family. I am one side, I'm Dave, and to my other side, Ryan.
I'm like the B side.
Yeah, I'm the hits.
You're
and
the
Ryan's
D side.
The B sides, the ones that aren't quite good enough to release until you're out of new songs.
But all the hipsters really, really like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's like 10 different variants printed of them. We are Movies On Up. Tagline for this week, there are two sides to every family. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter @moviesonup. The episode is our favorite Jake Gyllenhaal movies. I still can't spell it without looking it up, but...
Two L's, two A's.
Yeah,
well, actually, there's three L's.
Which makes no sense.
End, but...
Gyllenhaal and Gandhi, I have to Google first.
Both start with a G.
And I never know where that H goes in Gandhi, because it doesn't make any sense. Demolition comes out this week. That's where somebody dies, and he just tears up his life, I guess, probably. So we thought...
I think his wife dies.
So, like John Wick.
Yes, yeah. Except without
It's Jake
Russians.
Gyllenhaal's John Wick,
right.
I think is what I'm dubbing Demolition. Each man deals with grief their own way. Favorite Jake Gyllenhaal movies. I thought this would be a fun list to do because it's one of those... These list episodes always surprise me. Like, oh, we do a Marky Mark. Holy, I didn't realize I'd like that many Marky Mark movies. Do a Clooney list. It's like, I guess I don't like as many Clooneys as I thought. And then Gyllenhaal, it's like, oh, he's done some awesome stuff lately. And then you look at everything before
that. And
that's
going to be our list, is
yeah.
All the new stuff.
Yeah, so like, he's one of those that, if you ask me, do you like Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah, I really like Jake Gyllenhaal. What are your five favorite movies? I can get a strong two or three.
Honestly, I like all of my five movies. I don't think I was stretching to get one on there. I do think that there's going to be some crossover, because I don't think either of us liked Donnie Darko enough to put it on our list.
No.
Yeah, that's. I think
it,
that's
going
to be
one of my
one
also-rans.
That, yeah, I think that's the one that, especially up until about 5 years ago, if you would have had a Jake Gyllenhaal list, it would pretty much start and end with Donnie Darko, which is a decent movie. I think there are movies that get a cult following, and I'm all for that. Thumbs up, I applaud all that stuff. Donnie Darko is one that I don't know if it deserves the cult following that it has.
I hope
that's not film snobby of me to say.
I don't know. There is good stuff about it.
Yes.
It's an enjoyable enough movie.
Right.
There's stuff in it that I like, but it gets elevated to such a pedestal by its fans that I don't get it.
There's a lot of stuff about the movie that I just don't get. I don't
yeah.
understand.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know what the hell's going on.
And the thing
on.
Is, I'm not going to badmouth. It was an also-ran.
Yeah.
But I don't hate Donnie Darko. It's
no.
just I like my other five more.
Certainly, but... Of the early Gyllenhaal, that was the one, you know, that everybody would probably pick. But when it comes to later Gyllenhaal, recent Gyllenhaal, I don't think you need to put that on a list, because I think you can find five and perhaps only five movies that are better than that.
I mean, I have some also-rans, but what's your number five Gyllenhaal movie?
My number five Gyllenhaal movie is the newest on the list, at least the newest on my list. It is from just last year. It is Antoine Fuqua's Southpaw, starring the aforementioned Jake Gyllenhaal, Rachel McAdams, and Forest Whitaker. It's not a great movie, which is why it's number five on my list, but it is a great performance by Gyllenhaal. I give the dude a ton of credit for physically transforming himself into Billy Hope. A lot of times you'll see an actor do a physical transformation, and this is a good one, and Bale for The Machinist is another one that sticks out, because he basically just lost 300 pounds or something and was walking around at about 13.
Ate an apple a day for a year.
Yeah, and I don't think that is an exaggeration of what he did. Physical transformation is one thing, but a lot of times in sports movies, you see some actor, and they come off as a fake athlete. Tom Cruise is always my go-to for this. I love Tom Cruise, but he had certainly all the wrong moves and all the right moves. But I think there are times that actors really look like they can play the sport that they portray. And for me, Charlie Sheen as Ricky Vaughn, he looks like he could be a relief pitcher. I completely buy that. And I give Gyllenhaal a lot of credit in this movie. Not only did he physically get all swole up to look like he could be a prize fighter, but he actually trained enough to, he looked competent in there. It's, I don't think he's going to go out and beat Mayweather or anything, but it didn't take me out watching this guy, you know, watching Wesley Snipes play basketball, I think.
And Woody Harrelson play basketball.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
They're not good. But watching Gyllenhaal in this movie, yeah, okay. Watching Michael B. Jordan in Creed, yeah, they look like boxers. And Creed's a better movie. Narratively, it's better.
Every way around, it's better.
Right, exactly. But I would believe that Gyllenhaal could go a couple rounds in the ring. Maybe not at the pace that the fighting is in this movie. I think both guys would end up dead if two fighters got in there and tried to fight at the pace of all the fights in Southpaw. It's completely unbelievable. From the fighting to the shootout at the fundraiser through the custody battle, it's a lot of melodrama. But I think that he's worth watching, which is why it gets a place on my list.
I wanted to like Southpaw. I really did. I like Fuqua. He's a...
I don't think he's ever actually seen a boxing match, however.
No, but I think he's... It's going to be a weird term. I think he's fairly underrated as a director. I think he's a more than competent director that doesn't really get the gigs that he should be at this point. Kurt Sutter, you know, I was a fan enough of Sons of Anarchy, but those last few seasons got kind of painful. That's when people started telling Kurt Sutter no. And that's kind of what this movie felt like. The script wasn't good. It was very cliche. It was very paint by numbers. Fuqua didn't have much to work with direction-wise. But despite all that, Gyllenhaal was really, really good. He was really the only one in the movie that was worth a damn. This one makes sense. It's not a good movie. It's a good Gyllenhaal performance. Also, Creed coming out just a couple months after this movie did not help it at all.
Certainly not.
You have one that's just a paint-by-numbers, cliche, lame, and then you have one of the best movies of the year. My number five goes back a couple years. What I've liked about Gyllenhaal is he'll do your studio movies that don't feel like studio movies. Like, even Southpaw, to an extent, you had Fuqua, who's a big-time director, had a major release, but it still had this kind of indie feel to it. And I feel like 2012's End of Watch did the same, written and directed by David Ayer. I really like David Ayer as a director. I don't like found footage. That, I think, hurt this one at times. But
at least it made sense.
It made sense. Yeah, it made sense, and that's why it's bearable to me. But Michael Peña and Gyllenhaal make the movie worth it. I wanted more of an arc from it. Like, I didn't want it to just be a bunch of episodes of cops strung together. Like, I was hoping there was a more through line with the story, with them basically going up against gangs. And you got that for a little bit, but it hit what needed to hit. I always talk about moments, and you look at the fire and the shootout, and the moments that it had to hit, it hit. And the supporting cast was good. Anna Kendrick shows up in there, and I hate wedding dances. So, I mean, that part was... I almost left it off the list just because of that scene. This is where Gyllenhaal thrives and stuff like this, because he's an everyman, and he's not an everyman. Like, you look at him, he's a physical specimen, but I buy him as a cop. Like, I buy him and Michael Peña as these two friends that have become brothers through work. And there was enough about it. I mean, I'm not a cop, so I can't speak to how realistic it is to be in the line of duty, but it was compelling enough to watch. The talent involved, like I said, if this movie's made by anybody other than David Ayer and doesn't star Gyllenhaal and Peña, I think it falls flat. But it had just enough things going for it to overcome all the things that were working against it.
If you wouldn't have put it on your list, it still would have been talked about because it is my number four. I like the fact that you mentioned you wanted it to be more than just several episodes of Cops strung together. To me, it just seemed like an episode of Cops on speed. It is nuts. It's super intense. And I think that, especially going forward, where, you know, a couple of our presidential candidates want a mandate that every cop is going to have to wear a camera, I think stuff like this is going to be more the norm, and that found footage part of it will make more sense even than it did in 2012. What it does do, instead of just being a device, it puts you right in the middle of that action, which when it gets going is on par with some of the footage or some of the carnage, really, from the best war movie that you've ever seen. I agree that the chemistry between Gyllenhaal and Pena is really what makes the movie. And I think a lot of it is due to Michael Pena, because I think he's that charismatic. Gyllenhaal is not a guy that charisma is necessarily what I think of him. He's a fantastic actor. Intensity, yes. Charisma, maybe not. But I think that's something that Pena has in spades. So it's very easy for that to kind of rub off on him.
Pena is like, I look at him as like the female Judy Greer. Yeah. Where they're
the male Judy Greer.
Yeah. Because
Judy Greer is in fact a female.
Yes. Yeah. They're the perfect counterbalance to to anybody, because whatever somebody else's weakness is, that's their strength, because they're so good all around. And that's why you see Pena and you see Judy Greer in a lot of these friend roles and not in the main roles, just because they elevate everybody else and they're so good at what they do.
Yeah. Even when the bullets start flying in this, Pena and Ayer have done a good enough job of actually creating, maybe not having an arc for the characters, but at least creating them as human beings, so that when the bullets do start flying, you feel the danger that they're in, and you're really not sure if they're going to make it out, but you certainly want them to, because you've kind of seen them as characters and not just guys that are trying not to stop a bullet. And the movie has to be on the list because Anna Kendrick. How are we going to do a Jake Gyllenhaal list and not put her movie in there? Because it's not like there's an abundance of ones of his that we like.
My number four goes back a few years. It's easily the oldest on my list by far. But by going back in time, we're only talking 2007. And it's not really a Gyllenhaal movie. It's more of an ensemble. It is David Fincher's Zodiac, which I honestly just watched for the first time within the last few weeks.
Yeah. I've been preaching this movie for a long time.
Well, we were talking.
That's why I left it off the list.
After the journalist episode we did, I decided to watch it. And plus, with all the presidential stuff going on, I wanted to see if Ted Cruz got name dropped in here. But it's like, I like Gyllenhaal in it. I like Downey Jr. in it. Like, I like Ruffalo in it. It's a rough movie to watch. Like, you watch Titanic knowing that it's going to sink.
Right.
You watch this. I know that Graysmith and Avery live. At no point am I ever fearing for their lives. Mm. I know the Zodiac Killer is never officially caught.
Like, right.
I know.
There's not that payoff.
There's no tension. There's no suspense to anything in it. And for what it wanted to be, maybe it's just that I knew too much, but it's a 50-year-old case.
Right, like, but the further we get from that, I think you're going to run into people that really just don't know the story. And if you don't know anything about it,
yeah,
watch the movie.
When Graysmith is in the house, like, oh, something could be happening.
Right.
It's like Jack the Ripper was never really identified, but there's been some legit Jack the Ripper movies because there's no legit ending, so I can do whatever I want. So even if you invent another character to go in there, and at least there's some stakes, this I just felt like it lacked it. But the cast makes it worth it. It's a good movie. It's not great. Like, with that kind of cast and that kind of subject matter and David Fincher, I would want more. But it's still definitely a watchable movie. It's like a sausage party, though. Like, just now thinking about it, like, Chloe Savini's like the only woman in that movie I can remember.
Yeah.
And just looking at the IMDb page, you're like 11 names down before she's even mentioned. And then, yeah, it's a sausage party, that movie.
Not to be confused with the actual sausage party of the movie. My number three is not a sausage party. It's sort of a sci-fi love story, kind of a time-traveling sci-fi love story. It is 2011's Source Code, directed by Duncan Jones, starring Gyllenhaal, Michelle Moynihan, and Vera Farmiga. My love for this movie has actually little to do with Gyllenhaal. I think it's incredibly well-constructed by Jones, and I think it's actually pretty well-written from the writer of Species 3 and 4. Perhaps sci-fi horror is not necessarily his forte, but I think Ben Ripley does have a nice niche when it comes to time travel movies, and I'm not the only one that thinks so, because he's writing the upcoming Flatliners remake. I think
it's not time travel.
It's certainly non-linear, though, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
they do kind of go back in time.
Yes.
While they're dead.
While they're dead. They're certainly not going forward in time, and they're not trying to solve a mystery. But it's time hopping, I guess. This one comes more from the Groundhog Day school of time travel, which probably exists because I just made it up. Duncan Jones does a great job of piecing together the puzzle from the train explosion kind of 1 second at a time as you move through it. It seems like it might be difficult to do, but between this and a movie I like a little bit more, Doug Liman's Edge of Tomorrow, I think you have a couple really good attempts at this particular type of time travel. I think Monahan is pretty capable, and Gyllenhaal gives it his best shot. They're good enough in their roles, but I think could easily be replaced, and the movie would still be a pretty pleasant surprise for me. I had zero expectations going into it. It was still very early in the Gyllenhaal run for me to where I wasn't just going to go watch it because he was in it, and certainly wasn't going to expect anything good because he was in it. And maybe my low expectations, it ended up being, I thought, a pretty decent sci-fi movie. And sometimes that's saying a lot because there are a ton of sci-fi and a lot of them suck. This one I don't think sucks. I think it's very capable.
I don't think it sucks. And to break the fourth wall a little bit, this was my number one. But I'll go ahead and say it's my number three just to keep the conversation going. I wasn't super sold on Gyllenhaal at this point. This is pre, like, I'm on board with Gyllenhaal.
Pre the rest of our movies,
But Moon, this was follow-up to Moon, which was Duncan Jones. It's probably a top 10 ever movie for me. So for him to follow that up with this, you know, I was on board. I definitely wanted to see it. I did go in with a little lower expectations because Moon was a smaller movie. He was able to make it without... This was a studio movie. Mm-hmm. So he had your movie star starring in it. It's a Jake Gyllenhaal movie and not a Duncan Jones movie. So I was a little afraid of that. And I'll disagree with you a little bit. I don't think you can throw just anybody else in here. Like, I thought Gyllenhaal did a very, very good job. It is more the direction and the writing of this movie, but I think he carried it. And, I mean, on the flip side of that, Sam Rockwell carried Moon, where I couldn't imagine anybody else.
Right.
But what I'm seeing there is that Duncan Jones knows how to get really good performances from his actors. So maybe you do have a point that somebody else could step in there and Duncan Jones could get the same kind of performance out of that.
Maybe it's just the character, in fairness, because they're playing different characters. And I can't imagine anybody else in Moon, but I could imagine, for instance,
Liam Hemsworth.
Maybe not.
Jai Courtney.
No, I can't imagine Jai Courtney doing anything.
Superman, whatever his stupid name is. Army Hammer.
Yeah, maybe Johnny Depp. I don't know. But I could imagine another actor coming in to Gyllenhaal's role in Source Code. And to me, it's like when I said a couple, I don't know, maybe a month ago at this point, Clooney in Solaris. Clooney's a great actor. Nobody would argue that. But I think that, to me, the subject matter of that movie is so interesting that you could sub out another actor,
yeah,
and I think it would still be good.
And, I mean, just the dynamic of everything. Like, you have the mystery that has a Memento-type feel to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that Memento feel of crime-solving that Gyllenhaal has to do. And then you have the whole Vera Farmiga and Jeffrey Wright, who is playing the most Jeffrey Wright role ever. He does one thing very, very well. I love this movie so much, and I like to picture a different world where, because you look at Moon and you look at Source Code, I think two movies with really good male leads that you get the most out of them. And before Zack Snyder was given Batman vs. Superman, it was coming down to him and Duncan Jones, and I just like to picture a Superman movie directed by Duncan Jones because you're not getting the wooden Henry Cavill performance, and like
that's his name,
yeah. And I just like to imagine like how different this scope of movies are if instead of going the cheap route with Zack Snyder, the cheaper effective name route, if they'd have taken a chance and let Duncan Jones do
that
it.
Just means Duncan Jones is available to do Marvel movies, so I'm okay.
No,
with
he's
that.
Doing WoW though.
Oh, that's he, right.
He's got WoW coming out, which like, I'll see it because he's 2 for 2 so far with me. I love his two movies so far. So, I mean, I'll see WoW. I never played it. The trailers aren't fantastic, but the cast is great. The cast is awesome. And, you know, you put Ben Foster in a Duncan Jones movie, sign me up.
Is he an orc?
Or a I don't know what's in there. I was going to name another mythical creature, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. He's a Gryffindor, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever that is. My number two, I mentioned that I don't think that Gyllenhaal necessarily has a lot of charisma or charm, but he does have intensity, as does just about everybody else in this movie. Intense is a good word to describe Denis Villeneuve's Prisoners from 2013, starring Hugh Jackman, Gyllenhaal, Terrence Howard, and Paul Dano. Holy shit, the performances in this movie. The male leads are all phenomenal. Jackman has this desperation and anger that is just about palpable. Paul Dano is one. I love Dano, and I think he's like Tucci-esque in this role as the possible pedophile. Gyllenhaal absolutely, I think, keeps up with the other guys as the earnest detective trying to atone for his awful tattoos in the movie. It is a heavy, heavy movie that doesn't take real long to hit you up with the dread, and it just keeps ratcheting up the tension as you go along. As Jackman becomes more frantic, I think the viewer, we become more frantic to find out what happened to these little girls. And it's great to see the interplay between him and Dano, because as Jackman gets more crazy, Dano's just kind of riding the same. And it's just, you get frustrated right along with Wolverine and you want to beat his face in, because he's the perfect villain in this movie. It's fantastic. Gyllenhaal's great. His performance keeps up. It doesn't necessarily stand out as much as Jackman does, but it's still great. Everybody in this movie is great. And I didn't even really mention any of the ladies.
Maria Bello.
Right. Viola Davis. They're great in it as well. Terrence Howard is great. You can see the conflict in him as he's being lobbied by Jean Valjean. And it's a great movie. It's one you only need to see once, but you should see it once.
You can even leave 10 minutes early if you want. if you don't see it all the way through to the end, you're okay. This is also my number
two. That's my number two?
Okay, yeah. It's my new number two. I disagree a little bit, though, because I think Gyllenhaal stuck out in this movie. Stood out.
whatever you want to call it.
But they're doing two different things. Jackman,
certainly.
Nothing you said about Jackman is wrong, but Jackman kind of carried this movie. It's an ensemble movie, but it's a Jackman movie. At the center of it, Gyllenhaal kind of does the Hannibal Lecter thing where he's not in it a ton, but I think he steals every scene he's in. I want a Detective Loki movie because I love his character.
You could
in this
have a
movie.
Series. It could be like a Jack Ryan series.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a CBS procedural starring Detective Loki. I'm fine. Just this dude that's just tatted up, that's just hell bent on finding this, and like, you know, there's a backstory there that they don't touch on.
Right, how he got those tattoos.
And that's what I love about it, is that you look at Loki and you can tell, oh, that guy's got stories. Oh, I can't wait till they dig into, oh, wait, it's over?
Yeah.
And I don't know anything else more about Detective Loki, which I like. And I thought he stood out. I thought he should have been nominated for this one. Like, this movie kind of just
got nothing, really.
Yeah, and I don't, if you look at Villeneuve, we talk about Gyllenhaal being a hot stretch. This kind of bust Villeneuve out. He's done a bunch of French stuff. Prior to this, he did this, which you look at this cast and these performances and even the subject matter and tell me that it gets shut out of the Oscars and it doesn't get any love just blows my mind. It follows it up with Enemy, which is a little bit of a smaller movie. It's one of my also-rans. It's a Jake Gyllenhaal movie, just really intense. But then last year he had Sicario, another one. That's damn near Heat level. Like, I talk about Heat being a perfect crime movie. I think Sicario is the closest we've had to a Heat level crime movie since Heat. And it got nothing. It got no love. It got no praise for anything. And he's doing the Blade Runner sequel next. I don't care about Blade Runner. I think it's horribly overrated. But yeah, you're going to have Villeneuve direct it. I'm on board because his last three have been incredible to me.
I kind of agree with you on Blade Runner. It depends on what day you catch me on. Some days,
or which 20 versions you...
Yeah, exactly. Or which 20 versions of it you see. The director's cut, the director's cut of the director's cut. I get all that.
The studio's cut of the director's cut. Or...
Right, the Richard Donner cut. But other days I really like it. But
James Cameron cut is the worst. Put nipples on his leather coat.
But certainly I do love Villeneuve, and I would be very interested in seeing his version of it. especially if Harrison Ford decides he wants to be in that too, because he just can't let those franchises go. Which brings me to my number one, which, as much as I'd like to see the continuing adventures of Detective Loki, I'd also love to see the continuing adventures of Gyllenhaal's character, whose name is escaping me right now, from Nightcrawler, from 2014, directed by Dan Gilroy, starring also Rene Russo and Bill Paxton.
Louis Bloom.
Louis Bloom, yeah. It's a perfect name for that character, too, because he sounds like a creep. Many of my recent pleasant surprises have come from Gyllenhaal, to be honest with you. It's not going to be the case moving forward. Nightcrawler was the one that cemented it for me. At that point, I mean, you want to talk about getting hosed out of any kind of award nominations. This one, to me, is the poster child for that. It cemented that this guy is a hell of an actor. And you said he's an everyman. I know exactly what you mean. He's too damn handsome to be an everyman, but
he
can play everyman. I mean, if you look at our list, at least my list, he's a boxer, he's a cop, he's a time-traveling detective, he's a detective, and a creep.
Watch Enemy.
Yeah.
Enemy, he plays two roles. They're different. Mm-hmm. And
the
I don't think
crushes,
he gets credit.
He crushes everything he does. And now when I see a Gyllenhaal movie, I'm going to have higher expectations because I expect that much of him now. Like, even if the movie's not necessarily great, like Southpaw, I expect him to be great in it. I'm going to compare him all to Nightcrawler because I think that Lewis is such an eerie and an intense character from the very beginning. And you can't help but you have to laugh because sometimes it is
but
funny.
But it's not. If this dude's real,
right,
it's not funny.
No, no, he's going to murder you.
And it's not funny because you know there are people like him.
Right.
So it's...
You laugh almost to alleviate the uncomfortableness that you feel from the movie. After having already been nominated for Brokeback in 2006, with what he's done recently, I would be shocked if he isn't nominated again or if he even wins. I mean, it should have happened again by this point already. He did get nominated for a Golden Globe for this. He should have gotten another Academy Award nom. And I think he's one of those guys that is going to start to be around every year because he is that good.
Yeah, but the movies he's doing...
I know.
He's doing that fine line of... He's basically just doing movies he wants to do.
Right.
But yet he's towing that line with some of them are studio movies. Nightcrawler feels like a gritty independent movie.
Right,
it's
absolutely
a studio movie. So he's making these independent movies on studio funding, which will get overlooked by the Academy a lot. Like even Prisoners felt like an Adam McGoyan movie. And like that was a studio movie. If you go back, 2010, I think is the turning point. There's stuff from before that. Zodiac made my list. Jarhead.
Everything I have is post-2010.
Yeah, Jarhead is one of my also-rans. Rendition's a decent enough movie. And Brokeback, obviously.
Right.
Moonlight Mile's a good movie. Good Girl. Like, they're okay movies, but none of those that are like, oh, Gyllenhaal is... And then 2010, he does Prince of Persia, which I think was the low point. But he followed that up with Love and Other Drugs. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's a competent, like, romantic comedy that's not your standard rom-com fare. But just since then, Source Code, End of Watch, Prisoners, Enemy, Nightcrawler, Southpaw, Everest, Demolition. That's a tear right there. I did leave out the Lost David O. Russell movie, That Accident of Love, because let's just forget that didn't happen. And, I mean, I didn't see Everest because it had Sam Worthington in it, but... I'm sure he was good in it. He's on such a tear right now. It's silly.
So what is your number one?
Oh, I thought I had said that.
No,
Nightcrawler.
I'm assuming when we had to flip-flop him.
Yeah, it was my number two, but I went ahead and made it my number one. I feel like I've talked about it so much.
Yeah.
This was one I don't just feel like he got left out of the Oscars. Like, I feel like it should have been...
Yeah.
Cinematography, yeah. Director even, yeah. Movie. Like, I think it was one of the coolest movies to come out that year. Especially screenplay, because there's no arc. Louis Bloom's not a better person in the end. He doesn't learn anything along the way, which, you know, you broke the number one rule of character development, but yet still developed this amazing character. So, yeah, my number one would be whatever, Nightfall.
Whatever
Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Other than that, Donnie Darko, Enemy, Jarhead, Moonlight Mile, Good Girls were the ones that, like, I...
Brokeback.
Brokeback.
I mean, that one's... this, I was able to do the hipster thing and not put Brokeback Mountain on there. It is a good movie. I would be shocked if people don't know that. And that one did get Oscar attention.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a, we talk about Prisoners being, I mean, you're talking Ledger,
yeah,
Gyllenhaal,
Michelle Williams,
Anne Hathaway. Yeah. They all just kind of threw it at that one. And yeah, he's made some good movies, but he started making them great about 5 years ago.
Fair enough. If we missed your favorite, Jake Gyllenhaal, if you love The Prince of Persia,
or Bubble Boy.
I'm sorry. Oh, gosh, yeah. Or if you want to tell me, if you want to explain to me the rabbit thing in Donnie Darko, I'm willing to listen to that, too. You can get at us, email moviesonup@gmail.com. You can get on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or @moviesonup on the Twitter. We would love to interact with you.
We'll be back next week.
We'll be interacting with you next week. Yeah, I was just like, wow, we're already, damn, this is April.
Yeah, yeah.
I am dazed and confused as to what we're going to be doing next week.
Next week is dazed and confused episode, because the spiritual sequel to it is coming out. So we're going to do dazed and confused next week, which will be fun, because I think I've only seen this movie once, and it was while I was really dazed and confused, for lack of a better term. So I'll rewatch it and see.
It just stays the same, Dave.
That's what I hear. But, yeah, so we'll be back next week. And then we're coming up on summer. Summer will be here in a few weeks.
About 2 weeks. We'll be doing our summer preview. It's the last episode in April. So
until then.
Keep it up.